Good morning. We drove to the church building today in bright sunlight all the way. Kind of unusual. Great experience. Loved it. God, our scripture that we had on earlier said that God made everything for its own purpose. Hey, that includes me. That includes you. It includes all of the environment around us. It includes the idea of just being able, because of the provision of God, to be here in a place where you belong, where you have a purpose given by God. And for those who listen to God, the blessing extends. It includes being able to be here among people who, by their very faith, if it's defined from the words and thoughts in this book, you have to love me. You just have to. I may not be all that lovable. I may have some flaws, and I do. There are plenty of people who can tell you some of those flaws. But we're obligated, and we have the chore, commitment to Jesus, to love each other and his family as we love ourselves. That is so incredibly important, and it creates an environment. There are some things you have to kind of suffer through that a little bit. We have to suffer when a pack of our people had other places they had to be today, and that's understandable. In a congregation like this, I can't even believe all the things that are going on in people's lives that pull them away from our assembly from time to time, but they do. But they're somewhere. Hopefully they're worshiping God. And so in spirit, they're here with us, and we're with them. And that's a blessing. Everything has a purpose. And he goes on in that psalm even to say that the things that are evil, they have a purpose, and they can be appropriated to our lives to find that purpose, grow from them, be blessed even by things that are evil, as people have been through Bible history. Glad you're here today. It's good to be God's people. It's good to have a reason to come here and praise. It's good to have things that we don't lose sight of. I was talking to somebody back in the back just now that I won't call a name. I call his name too much. But we were just talking about the fact that in later phases of life, you transition a lot. You can't have everything you want. You can't even nearly get everything done that you want to get done. You're not as fast as you used to be. You're not as strong. You're not as able. And so things just pile up higher and higher and higher. And then finally you get to about where I've arrived and you say, I'll never get them done. There's no point in letting that be something that pulls me down. They're going to be undone, still, pack of them, the last day I'm on this planet. And so, not necessarily by choice, but just by acceptance of reality, I just say, okay, they won't get done. Now, I cannot kind of resort to, I'll just lay back and do what I please. I'm not happy there either, neither is that a good place to arrive. I don't care if they get done or not. That's not a good place to arrive. I just keep chopping them away. But I made a confession back here. Sometimes I say, oh, I know that needs to be done so bad, and this does, and I, Gene's got a to-do list that long. I'll never get it all done. I know I won't. But there is something that's pretty good I'd like to do. So I go do that. And I feel pretty good about that, because I'll never get all the dust. I'm not taking it off the list. It still needs to be done. I'm still planning to do it, provided God's grace gives me enough time. But I can't let that pull me down. I must not let something of that nature rob me of the joy, the peace that God has given me in later years. And so I plan not to. I hope God had strengthened me to that end, and you also. Glad you're here. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to be here in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has revealed to us, John 1 verse 18, that's not how your translation uses the word explained there, and I don't like that a bit. He revealed God to us by what he did, who he was here on this planet. Follow his life. Follow what he did. Follow how he thought. Follow his concern for people. Follow his purposes. And you see God's purposes. He revealed him. He made it possible to see him, not with these eyes, but with our minds and our hearts, to see him. He revealed him to us. And I love him for that, along with many, many other reasons. But I get to know who God is, I get to know God is Himself, the possessor of every one of those fruits of the Spirit that He challenges me to have in my life in Galatians chapter 5. He is the epitome of every bit of that. That's who He is. He's everything that I see Jesus focused on during His life. Colossians 1 verse 15 describes Him, Paul does, as the image, Jesus, as the image of the invisible God. Did you have invisible friends when you were little? I had a few. Out on the farm, you need invisible friends because there's really nobody else very nearby except a pesky little brother and three sisters. And they just don't necessarily always make the best friends. So you make up your own friends. And they're invisible. You can't see them. But I carried on a dialogue with them. We had fun. Well, that's kind of make-believe. But the God of heaven is not make-believe. He is invisible, but He is here. And I believe in that kind of life. I believe in letting Him be that present. And I believe in letting Jesus show me who He is, so even though I can't see Him here, I can see Him. I can sense Him. I can know He's with me. If I want to be with Him, draw near to Him. He draws near to you. And I, in my older years, I've learned to live more and more on that kind of view of life. That's the best place it can be to me. That's the best place I've discovered. And I believe that is the very place proposed to us right here. That place of living with the presence of God. Who God is such an important topic. I've been preaching it on forever. And I may preach on it till my last day of preaching. I'm not sure. That will not be either the theme or the background theme for everything I say, because everything fits into that. If it doesn't fit into that, who cares? Who God is. The God whom we serve and are here today to worship. And this is going to be kind of part two of last week's sermon. It may not feel like part two. Maybe it'll feel like some repetition. But I think the things that were said then and need to be continued from that are worth repetition. Repetition is a good thing. In fact, there was a preacher in Georgia who preached the same sermon like 8 or 10 times a year, because he said, "I don't think they heard it the first time. I'm just going to keep saying it till they get it." Well, repetition has some power, and there may be a little in that today to what I said last week. But our God had an uncomplicated, specific desire when He formed this old planet that you and I sit on here, stand on. I love to look at pictures of it that are now available to us from outer space. They're blue and they're beautiful, and I love those pictures because I can identify with kind of standing off like God does and looking at what He had made and said, "It's good." And it is. You read that word, He saw what He had made and He loved it. It was good. And He did make that old planet. He put it here. And you and I get this particular part, little portion of His history, get to walk around on it, live on it. And I love that thought because my God is with me, the one who made it, who made me and everything that I can sense to be in existence. And He had a purpose, a desire for putting human beings on this little ball of dirt floating out here through space. He had some reason why that was His reasons. And that tells us a lot about who He is when we really see it. And it can have, okay, so you get that, so what then? It can change the whole reason why you do things, how you think, what means anything in your life, what does not. Gene knows this, I have scrubbed off a lot of things in my life that just don't mean nothing anymore. I can't even watch a football game very far. I'm done with it. And I'm getting to the point where I don't care whether the Steelers win or lose. It doesn't mean a bean to me. That's where I've arrived. I used to was the exact opposite of that. I've just dropped off some things that are just trivia. I don't throw stones at them. That's fine. They're wholesome. They're fine, I guess, most of it, at least some anyway. The game itself. But I don't need it. And I'm losing a lot of things like that. They're just gone. Who needs them? I love thoughts of being here on a planet created by God for a purpose, His purpose, and living. I love to see who He is, discover who He is, as it just speaks to me everywhere, or speaks to me coming to church through sunlight today. Speaks to me through so many things that happen every single day. I tell you too many nature stories. I'm not going to tell you today, but I've had some more since I saw you last that just tell me God's right here. He's not far away. He's here with us. He's invisible. If I start telling you, "Yeah, I saw God today. He was wearing a blue shirt," well, you better take me off the pulpit and put me somewhere else. I don't see him like that. I see him with eyes of the heart. Paul makes reference to it in Ephesians. Enlighten the eyes of their heart. Lord, he was praying at the time. God desired to create spirit beings. That isn't hard to discover. God is a spirit being. John chapter 4, God is spirit. So when we worship, we have to worship him in spirit. That's my spirit. One spirit worshiping, one spirit receiving. This spirit worshiping, God who is a spirit receiving my worship. I hope that's happening with you here, between you and God today. It's real experience with the real God. If it is, that makes this assembly more special than, I don't care what the assembly you'd name, it can be 70,000 people surrounding a few football players. This assembly is more important than that in the eternal scope of things. God desired to make spirit beings because he's a spirit. In fact, when we leave here, Ecclesiastes says, the body returns to dust from which he made it. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. That sums up your existence. You know that? That's the way it is. If I see it that way, if I live with that kind of life outlook, it changes a ton of stuff. He intended, did God, he wanted to live alongside these spirits made in his likeness, he says in Genesis, as friend with friend. That was a purpose. That's why you're here. God loves fellowship, interactional, sharing, witness, friendship. And so I'm here for that. I wouldn't be here. That's the purpose God made us for. Friend to friend sharing. And I know that because those two people we talked about last week, and I'm not going to go into all the detail about Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden and stuff. I may show you some slides that didn't work last week just so I get to show them. I put them together and never get any people to see them. But he put those people there in that beautiful garden for friend-to-friend time. Friend-with-friend time. And they had it. Who knows how long? He doesn't tell us how long they had it. We took note last week of how the garden, called a garden in the east of Eden, is a real place. I like things that are real, that have lingered down from Bible time to our time and are there today. It's still there. The place is there. There's no... The garden apparently grew up like kind of down back behind my hill, and this all brambles and wild roses, and you can hardly most not go down there. But the place is still there. And God goes to some great detail to help us understand that, because he tells us about the name of rivers that were there. And I kind of talked about that last time. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, from where it was separated into four headwaters, four rivers. And he names those rivers. The Pishon, it winds through the entire land of Havilah. And we talked about that last time. And Havilah is a land that there was the Pishon River that was there. And today, over 700 miles long, headed almost due east toward the Red Sea, is a 700 plus long dry riverbed that we know is there. You could go there. Something's still there. It is referenced in Bible time. The scripture says there was gold there. In fact, let me get my slide up here if I've got it. I got that slide. That's the place. That's the Mesopotamian Valley, where is located the rivers that are mentioned in this psalm, in this Genesis passage, Genesis chapter 2. The rivers are there. That Pishon, I wish I'd have brought my thing. That little bottom arrow is pointing to a dry riverbed that comes all the way across to the right close to the northern edge of the Red Sea. And it's still there. You could go there today. I like places that the Bible talks about that most people don't even know exist, that say things that come right out of Scripture. It's not a story made up by some imagination fiction writer. It's real. And I like that. I like the fact that even here it tells us this Valley of Havilah, which is right about, well, right where the tip of that bottom arrow is, that Valley of Havilah comes across this way to the Red Sea. Well, we know what That's another map of that whole area that just kind of gives you the area. There's some things there that's still there. That is the Euphrates River, named here, still there. You could go swim in that river today if you could just get there. The Tigris, same thing. It's still there. Real things, right out of the Bible. That's onyx. The Bible mentions that onyx was harvested there. You can go there today. It is still harvested there. Kind of a semi-precious stone. It's still there. In this place, God put two people for friendship, friend-to-friend, interactional relationship in a beautiful garden he'd made. That stuff's still there. It's called the delium, which is a gum resin used for all kinds of purposes, incense and lots of other things. It's still got, they still harvest it there. Beautiful things. Back up, get too far. I like that. And I like that because it supports my faith, and I realize I'm talking about reality, not some maybe possible theory, but reality. I love it when God mentions specific things and they're still around. They mean something. That God who wants to walk with me left not only things that are still around, but he left his word, his own voice as it's such. Not a voice that you can hear with sound waves, but his voice is right here. You can still listen to him. You can interact with him. We noticed afresh last week how for deliberate sins, sin against himself, these two that he walked with in that garden, friend to friend, had to be a beautiful thing. They found them a new shepherd. They let some deceitful shepherd come along and turn their attention and knowingly do exactly what God said, the one thing they could not do. And so they betrayed him, turned their back on him, and that cannot be done, must not be done. I don't know how, it'd be staggering to count the number of Israelites who died in the desert area between Egypt and Palestine as they wandered around for 40 years. Because I know the scriptures tells us clearly that there were only two of the original people who left there who made it alive into the promised land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. A lot of the children of the older people made it, but nobody who left Egypt as an adult, 20 years and older, younger, made it. They died because God will not allow himself to have his people turn his back on them, set themselves up another god, make a god at the base of Mount Sinai, worship the gods of the people around them, and let them continue. He will not. And therefore, he also would not leave these two who had turned their backs on him and betrayed him in the beautiful garden he had made for him and them. It wasn't as though he hated them. I don't think that's true at all. He loved them. God is a grieving God. He had to have grieved when these two had to leave the garden. His memory is better than ours. He remembered all those walks that they'd made together in a beautiful place. God and his comrade spirit, made in his own likeness, walking together, enjoying what God had in mind, chose to turn their back and listen to another. Listen to another beyond this world being, demonic being called Satan, and just turned it back. Well, God must be wrong. He told us not to do this, but it looks good. We want it. It looks good to my eyes. I think it tastes good. Look at it. It looks like great for food. And I'll be like God. I'll be pride. The three areas where man can sin, they broke it all in one fell swoop. And they broke God's heart. And they're gone from the garden. We read it right here. Banished from the garden. I think I have a slide up here somewhere. No, don't. Not there. Somewhere else in the sermon. I get mixed up on where I put what sometimes. Sorry. These things are important because in them we get to know God. Our God. He's not a different God today than he was then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I love that about God. You can depend on him. He's not going to get up in a bad mood tomorrow and give me a hard time. I may give him a hard time and reap the results. He won't. He's the same God who describes himself to the writings of the old Apostle John as love. Every day that you get up and go about your life, he's love. And if you'll join him in that relationship item, love needs to have something to love. He'll let it be you anytime you want it. Not a day will be, he'll be different. We looked over some points last time. God desires to walk in fellowship with his offspring. He wants that. We see that in the garden. This touching story couldn't have a better... You couldn't see a clearer suggested truth than that. God wants to walk with His people in a love relationship. Walk means live life together. Move wherever we go together. Experience, know each other. Sense each other's presence. He's invisible, but we can sense His presence. We can see Him with our hearts. He literally made this clear for us in this story. Couldn't be clearer. He wants to be with us. Walking together is such a familiar theme in Scripture. You find it everywhere. I'd love to read the Bible and just find themes. I used to read the Bible and I didn't notice anything. I come across pretty much the same idea at different places and I didn't notice because I was stupid. I was slow in my brain and slow in my spirit. But these things tend to come alive after enough time, and they come alive to the point where you use up all your time in a sermon and never really get to your point. But they're there. They're there to be seen. And He has so many passages. The man and his wife, well, I had them walk into the garden here in Genesis 3 in that slide. I wanted to see some other scriptures that they're suggesting. And these are scriptures in the Old Testament as well as the New where he suggests his idea, we walk together in the frame, in the idea, the image that I've already described as an invisible walking with a physical and with a spirit that isn't visible. Psalms 23, I love this psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. We had a memorial service here yesterday for Jack Hill. And Jack has walked through that valley now. I really hope and pray and believe God was with him to walk through that valley. It's a happy walk. If God's there, it's a happy walk. If He's not there, there could be nothing more terrorizing and validly frightening than walking through that valley alone. You don't want to do that. I love this old psalm, even though I walk, I'm not alone. He's with me. And there is total cheer in that. There is total optimism in that, gladness in that. The Genesis 3:24, Enoch, he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, among the catalog of people of faith there, as a man of faith. And he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now that has always challenged my imagination. I don't know what it does to you, but the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 suggests that he did not die. Now that just makes me look for what did happen. And what I see when I see him walking with God is that he and God were such friends. They walked so close. He provided God the very thing he put man on this earth for. Companionship, a friend, spirit-to-spirit interaction, love, appreciation, admiration between the two of them. And then God just said, I'm done. He's not even going to have to know death. I'm just going to take him home. And he did. And I love that because it says something about who God is. My God, your God. Now, I doubt that's going to happen to me. I'm not as good as Enoch. So he's not going to look out and say, I wonder where he went. I don't qualify there. But I am trying with my heart, and I hope you are, to walk with him through whatever path of life he has in mind for you. Everything that God does has purpose. We saw that in our scripture we had on the board to begin with. Could any thought be more precious than that? A couple of others. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. You need light when you walk. I've walked a few times when there was no light. I cracked my nose one time. We were living in the Ivanhoe Apartments. And in the Ivanhoe Apartments, you don't have much storage space. And so we rented some space downstairs. And you had to go down. We were on the 8th floor. You got to go down by the bottom and go down long hallways to get to your particular space. And it was like, I don't know, maybe as wide as this pulpit. And put anything you got, you don't have a place to put, you put it in there. And we had to have something. I don't remember what it was. But the lights were out in that basement. And I thought, well, I've walked down here tons of times. I can go get it anyway. I've got my key in my hand. I can get my lock open. I can feel it and get that done. I'm walking down this hallway, and I don't think I'm anywhere near the end of the hall. And I banged my nose right into a brick wall. Cracked it. Because you don't want to walk where there's no light. I mean, no light. It was dark down there. You could almost feel the dark. You don't want to do that. Walking in darkness is not the way. He says, I am the light. If you walk with me, there'll never be a time like that when there won't be any light. Just walk with me. I'll make it bright. If we walk in the light, John 1, I love this passage. We studied it on Wednesday night and still will come back to it because it's too beautiful to leave behind. As He is in the light. He is in the light because He is the light. We have fellowship one with another. We've already learned earlier in that chapter, John said, I want you to have fellowship with us Christians, because we have fellowship with the Father. So this fellowship is including all Christians with the Father, all in a fellowship, walk together. And that's what brought us here today. I hope this is where we go when we leave. Never losing sight or consciousness of each other, loving each other, ready to go on the moment's notice. If any one of us needs somebody to come to their aid, walking together as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, benefit from all that walking together, cleanses us from all sin. And so if I manage to stumble up to the place where I'm walking along, and we never know where that place is, and I've been walking along with God, and this is the last day. Wait a minute. Do I have any sins? No. Because He has been busy cleansing them the whole time. Cleansing them away. You have no sins because you haven't been sinning, Earl. Ha! That's a joke. I'd be a liar, according to 1 John, if I said that. But I'm walking along and I come to the last day. And I get there and I realize, you know what? He's been cleansing my sins as I walked with Him. What a thought. There's no dread. In fact, I'll walk anywhere. I got nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear in a walk like that. He still is walking with us. Could any thought be more precious than this, more comforting, more exciting? God's still inviting us. He hasn't changed what He likes from Adam till today. He wants to walk with people who love Him, who believe in Him, who trust Him, and He'll walk with them. Draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you, and the walk begins with Him, our invisible friend. Thank God for the rest of the story of who God is. The first two humans lost their paradise with God place. It can only be lost the same way. It can be lost by saying, well, I know what God said, but that looks better to me over there. I don't care what it is. It can be anything, entertainment, recreation, sports, anything that becomes my main thing takes God's place. And I'm in the same desperate situation that Adam and Eve were, ready to be banished and lose my walk with God. For the first two humans, they lost their paradise, God. But God didn't give up. Wait a minute, who is God giving up on people who mess up? No. Thank God for the rest of the story. He doesn't give up on people who mess up. He didn't give up on these. He immediately began to plan a way that He could be back with them in a harmony walk together through their lives. Amazing grace reaction was the reaction of God about this circumstance. In my mind, what I see Him saying is, I said to them, in the day that you eat, you die. And as a consequence, lose your walk with me in the garden. And that happened. But I still love them. I still don't want to give up on them. And He didn't. He began to plan His plan. Maybe He began even before this. But He's a God of all knowing, so He's ready for anything. God demonstrates His love for us, toward us, in that while we were still sinners, we were still sinning, we were still walking away, we were still listening to someone else than Him, letting something else be our shepherd, our God, Christ died for us. Much more than having now, we were Christians, become justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We'll be saved from what we deserve for turning our back on Him because of Him. Because we've come back to Him. He made a door through whom we could come back. I am the door, Jesus said. He made a door. We could come back to Him because He wasn't through wanting to walk with His fellow creatures made in His likeness. And so He made a way. And so we sit here today. We sit here today in our background, just like little Gloria the other day. There's a time in our background when we said, is this what God wants? Why? Well, He wants to wash your sins away, Earl. And this is symbolic. This is a symbolic thing you do by which you express with your actions, not just words that can sometimes, I don't even know if my words are really very expressive or say what's in me. You say this with your actions. I trust you, God. You said you want to take my sins away. This is my act of faith. This is my response to Jesus being died, being killed, murdered, and buried in a tomb and coming forth. This is my response to your love, God, that wanted to come back and have my walk with you renewed and refreshed and go again. And so we found ourselves at a baptistry being lowered beneath water to be buried like he was buried. Came up spiritually alive with him to begin walking afresh in newness of life, says Romans 6, verse 4. What a thought. What a beautiful thing. A way to begin walking with God. He made that way. And then we mess up even after that. He said, okay, confess it. Regret it. You put regret, confession, and intent not to do it again, and you got repentance. And except you repentance, you can't walk with him. You can't be forgiven. He made a beautiful way because he desires, even more than we do, by focused attention, that he and we walk together through this thing that we call life from birth till death. And then he'll walk with us through the valley of shadow of death, right home. The place in John 14 that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place. You want to walk right on into that place, hand in hand with God, the invisible God. That makes life beautiful, and nothing can touch it. Nothing can threaten it. There is no disease. There is no injury. There is no plague. There is no Ebola. Can't touch it. It's secure in the hands of Almighty God. You want that. You need that. I want it for you. Because I think we need to want good things for each other. We do. We love each other. When I get to the point where I'm over that valley of death, I want there to be a time when everybody who is in this room today and everybody who's ever been here, Al Johnson and Laverne, Ernie Lucas, Bill Black, we could just name literally hundreds of names who've been here among us, who aren't here either for having moved away or having God taken them away. I want to meet there with them and you, just across that old valley of death, walking there hand in hand with God. In a worship assembly. You don't want to miss. Need to come to that God? Come now as we sing.